We will begin by reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. For those of you who are not so familiar with Krishna Consciousness, this is Prabhupada on my right, the steep seat on my right in the comedy. That is Srila Prabhupada. He brought Krishna Consciousness from India and took it all over the world, beginning in 1965. He went to New York. Then he came here to South Africa in 1975. And actually, Srila Prabhupada, he did a program right here in Pietermaritzburg, in the Pietermaritzburg City Club, down in the center of town there, on Church Street. And I know some of you were there. So some of you got that great good fortune of seeing Srila Prabhupada. And in his darshan. So he has brought Krishna consciousness all over the world. And I first met Srila Prabhupada myself in 1972. I was a student in university in New Zealand, as Yashika told you. I'm born, at least this body was born in New Zealand. So I was attending university in April 1972, Srila Prabhupada came there to the university, to New Zealand, and then to the university. And I met Prabhupada and became his disciple. So in other words, I've been involved in Krishna consciousness for getting on for 30 years. And applying these teachings of Bhagavad Gita, for those 29 or 30 years or so, and it's very wonderful. When this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is presented as it is, then it has a very deep effect on the audience, because these are the words of God, and He is personally behind these words. His potency is there. Yes, so, if we come in contact with God in the form of the spiritual sound, His spiritual message, then it can have a very deep and wonderful transforming effect on our lives. Of course, if we receive the message of God not as it's coming from God, but through some screen, you could say, if there's some barrier, and that message has to pass through the barrier, and then it reaches you on the other side of the barrier, then it depends. It depends on the barrier, isn't it? Just like we have our lights here, and because there's plain glass in front of them, in other words, there's no real barrier, then the natural light of the lights is coming through. But if, on that glass, we put some barrier, for example, if we painted a thick coating of red paint over the light fittings, then we would turn on the lights and we would think, oh, we have red light here. Because it has picked up something from that barrier which is in between. But it's not red light, it's plain, ordinary, clear light. But it's picked up something because is in the tongue. And even if you take a lot of paint and paint maybe a centimeter thick covering, then you may turn on the lights and you may not see any light at all, because the barrier is so strong that the light may not penetrate at all, so you may remain in darkness even though the lights are on, as much as they are on now. So it depends on the medium. It depends what that light, or in this case, the message of God, it depends on what it has to pass through, how it gets to you. Because after all, God is not here in a very direct and immediate sense. God is not here to walk up to you and shake your hand directly. He is not here in that sense. So we have to receive the message of God through someone else who is here in order to get it here. So it depends who the medium is and how transparent the medium is. It depends like that. The result, what the effect is, and how much of that potency of God comes to us and touches our hearts. But if that message of God is presented as it is, without any adulteration, then all the potency of God is within it. All the spiritual potency is there, and in that way our lives become transformed and changed. In other words, our lives become godly. So this is the idea. Srila Prabhupada has presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, the song of God as it is. So if we hear it very nicely as it is, then that transformation can take place in our lives, in our hearts, and our lives can become godly and spiritualized. And that is success in life. So, that is a little introduction. Let us now read a few verses from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Over these next few nights, 4 nights, we will read verses from different parts of Bhagavad Gita, gradually going deeper and deeper into it. But we will start at the beginning. So we'll begin with Chapter 2, verse 13. Lord Krishna says, Devas Mitade He Kumaranamantra Titade Mantra Praptya Dias Tantra Na Muyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. But a sober person is not bewildered by that change. Now, I hope you got that. I hope you're listening carefully there. It's a very important message. That is just for a couple of minutes. Consider what Krishna is saying there. Krishna here, right at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, is giving a definition of who we are. We might think, why do I need a definition of who I am? I know who I am. I'm Mr. Such and Such from Peter Barrettsburg. That's who I am. I'm 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years old. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a business person, a housewife. This is who I am. So why do I need Krishna to come and tell me who I am, because I know who I am. But if we consider carefully what Krishna is saying here, we see he is giving us a deeper perspective on this most fundamental point. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not begin by explaining who is God. That comes later. But he begins by explaining who are we. Because if we don't know who you are, and then we try to relate with God, but on some illusory basis, not understanding who you are and what is your connection with God, just some foolish idea, some wrong idea, then the way you try to relate with God, the relationship you will try to create with God, will be wrong. And you'll fool yourself, actually. So Krishna begins in this way, by explaining that we are all eternal persons, as we mentioned earlier. These bodies are just like vehicles. This is a very simple example. As we said, we've all come here in vehicles, but in 10 years' time, you'll have another vehicle. But you'll be the same person. You will not be another person. You'll still be Mr. Naidu or Mr. Such and Such from North there. You'll still be that person, but the vehicle will be different. The people identify you in terms of your vehicle. If you are now driving some old 1979 Datsun, then when people see you drive by, they will laugh at you. Then who is the silly fool driving this ancient, antique motor car? But tomorrow, if you buy a 2001 S-Series 600 Mercedes-Benz, and you drive past the same person, they'll think, oh, very important. I must take this person seriously. But actually, you're the same person. It's just a matter of an external vehicle which does not change you. So similarly, in this verse, Krishna is saying that previously, at least those of us who are adults now, previously we had little children's bodies. And then we had teenage bodies, then into our 20s, and so on and so forth. Many of us are now in the middle of our lives. Some of you are old people also. But even though the body is changed, now my body is approximately 50 years old. But I can remember when I was my first day in school, at 5 years old, in New Zealand, we begin school as soon as we turn 5. I remember my first day. My body was just small like that. Not like this at all. But I was the same person. My mind was different also. When you're a child, your mind is different from when you're an adult. But despite the change of body, despite the change of mind, you are the same individual. And you know that, yes, that was me who went to school 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. It was me, the same person. And so Krishna is explaining that here, that we are the same person, even though our bodies have changed. And our minds have changed in the course of this life. So similarly, when this body is completely finished altogether, at the time of death, Krishna is saying here that you, that same person, will go on to another body altogether. Completely different body. It may be the opposite sex, for example. It may be a different species. But you will go on, just as you have gone on from that little childhood body to the current adult body, and you are the same person. So you will go on to the next body in the next lifetime, but you will be the same person, even though the body will be quite different, and the mind will also be quite different again. But it is still you, the same individual. So this is the beginning of Mother Nikita, to help us to understand who we are, what we are, and what we are not. Because if we can understand these things, then we can understand what to do in our lives. If I am thinking that I am this body, I am a man, I am a white man, you may be an Indian woman, you may be an African man. Another living entity is thinking, I am a dog, living in that body. That's what the body. So, if I am thinking that I am actually this body, then I think that my business in life, the goal of my life, is to make my body happy. In other words, get lots of money, nice house, a nice member of the opposite sex, as a husband or a wife, and then nice television, motor car, all these things, for the comfort of the body and the pleasure of the mind. And we think, this is my business in life. This is the goal of my life, to accumulate these things and to enjoy the senses of this body. But Krishna is saying here that we are not these bodies. That the body is just a vehicle. So, if you are driving your car, then don't become confused and think that you are your car. You are the driver. The driver is separate. Srila Prabhupada said, it would be something like, if you pull it to the petrol station and ask them to fill up your car with 97 or whatever, and when they've done that, then you open up your mouth and say, fill me up with 97 too. If you were your vehicle, but you are not your vehicle, so you don't need 97. Your car may need it, but you need something else. And if you take 97, it will be very bad for you. So, we are eternal spiritual persons. We are not these bodies. These bodies, of course, need to be looked after. We are not advocated to abuse and neglect the bodies. But we should not think that we are the body, and that the needs of the body are our needs. We are eternal spiritual persons, and we need things which are spiritual. That is what we need. We need spiritual relationships, spiritual activities, spiritual thoughts. And ultimately, we need our eternal relationship with God. We belong in that eternal kingdom of God. We have come from there to Peter Maritzburg, this temporary place. But we belong in that eternal kingdom of God. So the human form of life is a facility for reawakening that eternal consciousness which is dormant within us, and the eternal relationship with God, which is also there within us, but which we have forgotten because we have become caught up in day-to-day life, trying to get money to feed the body and clothe the body and this whole materialistic way of life. This is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. If we do not take that step, that beginning step, of understanding our eternal nature, and that the goal of life is to reawaken our eternal relationship with Krishna, with God, then even our attempts at religion are based on illusion. But we pray to God, as they do in Christianity, give us this day our daily bread. We need bread, wow, for the body. But instead of buying it in the shop, now we are praying to God. Through religion now, we are getting bread. But it is the same thing. It's the same bread for the same body. So, religion is not intended just to get things from God for the body. Religion is intended to take us back to God and back to the eternal kingdom of God, where we, as eternal spirit souls, belong. So I know this is rather deep. We don't want to knock you out on the first night. But I'll read another couple of verses, okay? You're intelligent people. Try and listen a little carefully. Try and get this first point that Krishna is presenting. Who we are. We are eternal persons, independent of the body, but we are caught by the body in this bodily existence. So here Krishna, in verse 20, just a few verses later, Krishna says, Na jayate kriyate bhakana chin, na yakukha bhakata bhakana ya, na jayate shashato yakura no, na hamrite hamrite bhakana shri ne. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He is not coming to being. He does not come to being, and will not come to being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So again, Krishna is repeating the same point, but giving a little more definition, that we are eternal. And one last verse I'll read, verse 22. The subsidiary Nāyutāpāyā, the Nāyutāpāyā, Tadāśvī Nāyutāpāyā Jāyutāpāyā Jāyutāpāyā, and Nāyutāpāyā Dehī. As a person puts on new clothes, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So this, of course, is the science of reincarnation. We have all heard this term, reincarnation. We're going from one body to another. As the one body wears out, we go to the next body. So, how is that reincarnation happening? On what basis? How are you getting your next body? Later on in Bhagavad-gītā, Lord Krishna says, Yatra Vāpi Smaran Bhāva Chaitya Gyante Kamekara, that depending on what state of being you remember when you leave this body, you will attain another body in those terms, without fail. Depending on what state of mind you have developed in the course of this life. So what will that mean? That means how you have developed your entire life. How you have lived your entire life. The end result of that will be the state of consciousness you're in when you die. Like the sum total. Just like sometimes Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he said that this human form of life is like an educational experience. Like when you go to university. So you go to university, you study, and then you have the final exam. And if you pass, you go on to like a new life. But if you fail, then you have to come back and do it again. And you have to study as you go through this life. I mean, as you go through university. As you go through university, you have to study. You cannot just wait until the final exam comes, have a good time in the meantime, go to all the parties, and hang out here and there. And then finally, when the final exam comes, you just jump in and you're just going to pass. It doesn't work like that unless you're some sort of genius. You have to work all the way. So, at the end of this life, the goal we should experience in Bhagavad Gita is to remember him, to be fixed in God consciousness, to be fixed on Krishna and absorbed in remembrance of him. But that you have to cultivate during the course of this life. You cannot just decide that when the time of death comes, I will just jump up and think of Krishna, and there you go, no problem. But in the meantime, I'll watch all the Bollywood movies. Kuch kuch hota hai. Chori chori chukke chukke. And, what's her name? Madhuri Dixit. And all that. We know all about these things. And I'll just be absorbed in that. But when the time of death comes, oh, Krishna, then I'll think of Krishna. No more Madhuri Dixit. No more Amita Bachchan. So, it's not so easy. Just like when you're at university. You have to study the whole way through. So this human form of life is intended for reawakening our Krishna consciousness through spiritual activity, through spiritual association, spiritual relationships, means all these things connected with Krishna, connected with God. Instead of chanting some material songs, Bollywood, film music, but we can chant the holy names of God. Instead of just talking about worldly affairs, politics, economics, social goings on and gossip, but we can study Bhagavad Gita and we can discuss with others about Krishna. Instead of just doing ordinary work, we can serve Krishna. Just like here, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that he fight for me. Arjuna should fight for Krishna, for God. So you can do whatever your natural duty is for the service of God, for the service of Krishna. In this way, your life can become spiritually focused. Even while living here in Peter Maxwell, you don't have to go away to the Himalayas or something extreme. Even just here in Peter Maxwell, you can focus on Krishna and learn how to spiritualize your life. And then at the end of this life, you can go back to Krishna. You can go to the eternal kingdom of God. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. But it begins by understanding that we are all eternal spiritual persons. So we should be focused like that and not just absorbed in ordinary day-to-day materialistic life, just trying to gratify our senses, make money, and live that mundane way of life. It doesn't have to be like that. So this is what we often hear over these next 4 months, our Festival of India. This is what India has to offer. Nowadays, India is offering, well, lots of movies from Bombay, of course, lots of software engineers from Bangalore. India is the biggest producer of bicycles. Oh, wonderful. What a contribution. Atlas bicycles from India. India has one of the biggest railway systems in the world. It's not so thrilling. What India really has to offer, which is something of great and deep value, is the spiritual knowledge as given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And this is what the world needs. And this is what India can give. And this is what we're trying to give here in our Festival of India. So stay with us over the next few months. Pick up on all of this and be sure that you'll come out at the end enriched and with some very positive contribution and addition to your lives. Hare Krishna. Here's a technical question. Who is an Adi Guru? Adi Guru. You all know this term, Guru. Spiritual master. Spiritual teacher. Who is then an Adi Guru? Adi means first. So Adi Guru means the first guru in a particular line of gurus. There may be different schools of thought, and there are gurus in those different schools. So ultimately, the original guru is Krishna. He is the original authority on everything. Be it spiritual knowledge, be it material knowledge, he is the original Adi Guru. But otherwise, Srila Prabhupada, he is also considered Adi Guru in our line. We use the term also Satstapak Acharya, if you're familiar with Hindi, you might understand that. Means the founding Acharya, the foundational Acharya, who begins a particular line. How we end our birth and death cycle and go back to God? Well, we just mentioned that. You have to become fixed in God consciousness. Instead of being fixed in Bollywood consciousness, Krishna, not like that. Instead of being fixed in some material consciousness, we have to be fixed in remembering God. Then we can go back to heaven. Just like if you study at university and try to be a doctor. So if you get fixed in medical consciousness, if you get fixed in knowledge of medicine, Then at the end, you come out a doctor. But if you don't get fixed, at the end you'll come out not a doctor, you'll have to get some other job. You fail. So in order to go to God, we have to become fixed on God, and then we will go to God. Just like if you're studying the law. If you become fixed in your study of law, absorbed in it, you become a lawyer. It's a very simple thing, natural thing. But if you just go off on some other tangents, then you'll become that, whatever the other thing is. So, if you become godly, if you become a pure devotee of God, you will go to God. Why is this song's Bhagavad Gita called Bhagavad Gita as it is? Well, there are many versions of Bhagavad Gita. We were talking about that earlier. But they are coming through the minds of other people. So when you read these other versions, you pick up other messages. Krishna is saying that Sarvadharma Parityaja, give up other dharmas and Mam Ekam Sharana, surrender to me only. Krishna is saying that. But someone else is coming and then presenting that in their words, and then they're saying, no, 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 no. Krishna doesn't mean that you give up other dharmas and surrender to him. He means something else. So there, you see, you have a blockage. Something is coming between you and that original knowledge of God as it is. So you have to be very careful. You have to be. Because otherwise you pick up the other person's nonsense and you don't get that the real thing coming from God. It's like a counterfeit. Something along those lines. Yeah. Mixing in their own ideas. Just like if you have milk. In India, there is a practice. Maybe not so much now, but it used to be. That the milkman is just some little fellow who maybe has one cow. And he takes a little 10-liter thing and goes and sells it, and that's how he maintains himself. And that's where he gets your milk from. Or maybe he has a buffalo. But the practice was to mix in a bit of water. 20%, 30%. But when we get to 51%, then it is no longer water mixed with, milk, with water mixed in. When you get to 51%, it's now water with milk mixed in. See, there always an interesting little phenomenon like that occurring. We've had so much experience. It's just amazing. Yes, so, how much milk are you getting, and how much water? So we want the real milk, the real nectar, which is coming from Krishna, from God. Because that water, who needs water? We want the milk because it's the real nectar. So watch out for that. And sometimes, it's not just water, but they may put some poison in it. They may put some poison in it. So you're drinking, thinking, oh, milk, very good for me. But actually you're getting the poison. So like this. Some people distort the message of Bhagavad Gita very badly. So it's actually their message. It is no longer Krishna's message. But we want that message from Krishna. Okay, I'm going to answer one more question and then we'll carry on because we don't want to keep you too late. But if you happen to have written a question here, which we haven't answered and we would really like an answer, just come and see us at the end. Why do we chant 16 rounds? Now, for those of you who are a little familiar with Krishna consciousness, you would know we chant on our japa mala, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so many times a day, 16 times around, a string of beads. So why 16 times around? Why not 15? Why not 17? Why not 1? Why any particular number? Well, there's a simple answer. That this chanting, spiritual sound of the names of God, it has that very wonderful purifying effect on the heart. In this way, it nourishes our God consciousness. And by chanting regularly every day, then we're getting our daily spiritual nourishment. It is something like eating. Every day we have to eat. Every day you eat a couple of meals or whatever, you have to do it to stay alive. Otherwise, if you don't eat by the end of the day, you'll be ready to drop or to speak about for a few days. So you need that nourishment to keep going, physically. So in order to keep going spiritually in this world, with all the pressures of this world, but to keep up on the spiritual platform and not just get dragged down into the ordinary material state of mind, then it needs some of that spiritual nourishment. And on a daily, regular basis, to take you through every day. So this is why we chant 16 rounds. Because this is like a minimum number. That if you do that every day very nicely, you'll get through the whole day very nicely, and even at the end of the day, you'll still be fixed up in God consciousness, happily, despite what you may have been through working and so on in this world. So it is like that. It is like that. So thank you all for listening very patiently, and we'll now turn you over again to Yashika and some more slightly jazzy items or something like that. Hare Krishna.